8 years ago, we set off on a big journey together. 8 weeks ago, we began taking a significant next step on this journey. 8 weeks ago, we introduced a reality to you, if you will. It was something that we've been praying about at Hope for some time. I mean, we've been out of space and knew that we needed the next step or whatever that was going to look like, but we didn't want to just go into building a facility or launching a giving opportunity just because we needed space. We really needed to know that God was leading us to take this step. And so we've really spent a couple of years out of space waiting on God, saying, God, what's next? And the reality that we introduced to you simply said, what God is doing at Hope is greater than the capacity of our current facility. And it was kind of an understatement, but we had to know that. We had to know that what God was doing was bigger than the tools that He'd given us in order for us to take the next steps to getting the next tools and the right tools to fit. And we really believe as a pastoral team, stewardship team, and our shepherd leaders that God had led us to take that significant next step. So 8 weeks ago, we began this part of the journey. And we wanted to establish a biblical foundation as we walked through this together. We didn't want it just to be about giving some money. We wanted it to be a hard issue and really rooted and grounded in Scripture. And so when we took this step, we kind of crystallized some statements and laid them down as a foundation. We said that this life-changing journey that we're on, first and foremost, demands total dependence on a big God. God is big. Amen? Say that with me. God is big. God is big, and we are absolutely desperate for Him. And as we take this next step together as a church family, we are living in dependence on God. I hope that over these 8 weeks, as you and your family have talked and prayed and discussed, that what this has really done is driven you towards a deeper dependence on a big God. Secondly, we said that this life-changing journey involves joining a big God at work in a big world. God is at work all over the world, starting right here in Las Vegas and reaching to the ends of the earth. But when we talk about God's activity in the world, we came to understand that it's not just about what God's doing around the globe. It's also about what God's doing from generation to generation, as those that are not yet even born yet are going to be touched and impacted through the investments that we're making right now in this day. Then we said that this life-changing journey is God's invitation to a big life. You see, God's invited you and I into something that's bigger than us. Something that's going to outlive us. Something that's going to touch people and places in the world that you and I may never set our foot on. Yet God's invited us to a life of abundance and a life of significance as we join in what He's doing in the world. Then we ask you to take 21 days. 21 days ago today, I stood before you and I said, I want you to take the next 21 days and I want you to get alone with your family, your friends, and I want you to pray. I want you to seek God. And I hope that's what you've done. I hope that over the last 21 days you have sought the Lord, that you've carried this request before Him. And I hope that over these 21 days God's spoken into your heart. And my prayer today is that you simply are ready to do what God said. No more, no less. So here we are this morning on the brink of making this offering together as a church family. And as we take this step, I wanted to ask and answer two final questions about this offering. And these two questions that I'm going to ask this morning are really questions that are going to come up again and again over the next 3 years. As you and I live out this pledge, this promise that we're making to God today, as we live this out, we're going to wrestle with these questions over and over again. They're going to come back up. You know how I know that? Human nature. That's who we are as human beings. We're going to wrestle with these questions. So what I want to do is give you a biblical foundation to answer these questions as they come up again and again in your heart. So I'm going to really give it to you at the end in a life application statement that I want you to write down. And I want you to put that statement somewhere you can hang on to it. I want you to pull it out and look at it over the next 3 years and remind ourselves just exactly what we're doing. So here's question number one. How are we going to give? How are we going to give? you have your Bible, you can open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. A few weeks ago, I preached to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I told you that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are two chapters where Paul is writing to a church, a group of Christians, who are living out this very principle that we're talking about. They were living out this principle of making a promise of money that they were going to invest in God's activity. And so chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are really all the biblical foundation for this principle that we're practicing as a church family. But there's a couple of portions of those chapters that I want to highlight this morning to answer these two big questions. And this first question, how are we going to give? We really get to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first four verses, exactly how they gave. And I think it's a great model for us. As we begin to practice this today, I think it's a great example for you and I to lay this paradigm down on our lives and be sure this is how we're giving. So let's read it together, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, these words are going to be on the screen. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." Those verses really give us a threefold outline as to how they gave, and I think it's a great paradigm for us. It's a great reminder as we practice this today of how we should give. First of all, they gave from the heart. They gave from the heart. Look back at verse 2. Listen to this verse and listen carefully. In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy. You hear the paradox there? In a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep, doesn't say pockets, their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. You hear what Paul says this church had going for them? First of all, they had great affliction. Not just a little affliction. The Bible says they had great affliction. It's a comparative word in the Greek language. It meant compared to normal, ordinary, everyday affliction, this was super affliction. This was great affliction. The word affliction is a word that literally means to squeeze or to compress. It's the image of, you know, those little yes balls that we gave you a few weeks ago, how you take those and you squeeze those. Man, I've noticed everybody's forearms are getting bigger, you know, as they're just squeezing those yes balls. Well, that's the picture. It's squeezing. The situations and circumstances in their lives were squeezing them. This wasn't a good time for them. It was a tough time. They weren't on a mountaintop. They were living in a valley. And then Paul said on top of that, they had deep poverty. Not just poverty, they had deep poverty. The word poverty here that's used in 2 Corinthians 8 is a word in the Greek language that is often translated begging. It describes a realm of destitution that is so great that the only means of survival often is to beg others for help. Now, in the middle of great affliction and deep poverty, Paul said they had an abundance of what? Joy. You know what that tells me? The only thing they had going for them was the right heart. Everything else about their situation and their circumstance said, you know, this is not the right group of people to be involved in giving an offering. But they had the right heart. It's the verse that we preached a couple of weeks ago in chapter 9 where Paul says it this way, "Each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver," right? Man, my prayer for you, my prayer for my own family has been that God would allow us to each get to the place that with a cheerful heart, I hope that you've come in today ready with a spirit of joy and generosity, not focused on our circumstances, not necessarily looking at the things around us, but understanding there's a big God at work in a big world and He's invited us into a big life. I prayed that for my own family. You know, the pastor's family is just supposed to be a part of this, right? I mean, they're the pastor's family, right? They don't have to pray about it. I mean, we just do it, right? No, that's not true. We have to pray just like you do. And I want my family to get it. That it's not just we're doing it because our church is doing it. And that's really one of the dangers of ministry is that you're so close to it oftentimes that you get removed from the hard issues and it's just the function of life that you go through. It's just what you do. And we've prayed together as a family. We've had a couple of big family gatherings around the table where we talk about this. We had one again Thursday night. And Friday morning, I'm in my office. And Friday morning, I get in the office between 6 and 7 o'clock. And I'm spending the last few hours of that day just getting ready for this weekend. And I was in there this weekend, this Friday morning, just stilling my heart before the Lord, looking over these things, praying, and putting finishing touches on what God wanted me to share in my cell phone was laying on my desk, and it went, bzz, you know, buzz. I had a text message come in. I picked up my phone, and I clicked on it. It was from my wife. Listen to what she wrote. God's really been working on my heart this morning. And I can honestly say that I'm ready to give from a free heart. He loves our kids more than we do. So He'll provide what we need when we need it. You know what my prayer is for you? Same prayer for my family. That today this is from the heart. This is not about money. It's not about building. It's about a heart thing. Where we've come to a place before God that God's spoken into our lives and we're ready to respond. They gave from the heart. Secondly, they gave in dependence on God. Look at verse number 3. Paul says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." Now, part of that phrase we would expect to read, right? They gave according to their ability. That's what we would expect, right? But then Paul says, they gave beyond their ability. The circumstances surrounding their offering was not ideal. The normal person would have looked at their situation and said, there is no way they can give. Did you hear what Paul said about them? They were in deep affliction and deep poverty. If they had looked at their resources and said, what can we do? You know what they'd have said? We can't do anything. But they didn't do that. They looked at themselves and said, God, not what can we do? God, what do you want to do through us? And Paul says, man, when you see what they gave, it was beyond their ability. Here's another way to say that. When you look at their situation, the only explanation is God did it. God did it. There's no way, if you evaluate who they are and what they have, there's no human explanation for what happened. The only explanation is God did it. That's been my prayer. As we walk through this together, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't look into the future. I don't know what's going to happen yesterday and today. I don't know what all God's going to do. But here's what my prayer is. God, whatever it is, may we be able to step aside and look at it and say, man, God did that. It's not what we did. It's what God did. They gave in dependence on God. Number 3, they gave to share in God's activity. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced a principle to you that said God's activity in our lives is always bigger than us. This group of people understood it. Look at what they said in verse 4. Paul says about them, begging us. That's not usually a word that you hear when you talk about an offering. Not anybody usually begging to give. Paul says they were begging us with much urging for the favor. Here's the point. These guys looked at themselves and they had nothing. They were in affliction and poverty, but they saw God at work in the lives of people in Jerusalem. And so they begged Paul. They said, Paul, please let us have the favor. Paul, please let us have the blessing of participation. It means to share in the life of another. He said, Paul, please let us give so that we can have a part in what God's doing. So let me give you the first half of this life application statement. I want to put it up on the screen, and you can go ahead and start writing down the first half of it. Today, I will give from the heart in dependence on God to share in His activity. Today, I will give from the heart in dependence on God to share in His activity. So when that question comes up, how am I going to give? When things begin to look bleak and when you don't know, I'm going to give from the heart, trusting God to share in His activity. Second question, why? Why are we going to give? Now, maybe the simple answer to that question, somebody says, well, we're giving today to build a campus, right? Well, if that's the answer that's rolling off your tongue, you've missed the whole point of what we've been talking about for these 9 weeks together. Yeah, that's a part of it. Not to discount that, it's a big part of it. But that's not the essence of what we've been talking about. Turn over in your Bible one page to chapter 9. And there's some verses that close chapter 9. Chapter 8, Paul begins talking about this principle. At the end of chapter 9, he's closing his teaching on this principle to this church at Corinth. And he begins to answer the question, why we give. He's telling us why they gave. He's giving us some of the results of their giving. But in doing that, I think we not only see why they gave, but we see why we give today. So look at it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. For the ministry of this service, now he's there talking about this giving, this offering. That's this service, this ministry that he's talking about. The ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let me give you there five reasons why they gave and why we give today. We give today that lives will be changed. Paul opened that little paragraph by saying the ministry of this service is fully supplying the needs of the saints. Paul said, man, because you've given, there are people in Jerusalem, these believers who were experiencing great persecution, these believers that were experiencing social ostracism, these believers that were experiencing a great famine and living in abject poverty. Paul said, man, because you have given, God, through your generosity, has met their needs. He has fully supplied what they needed, and it has changed their life. You see, as we give, it's not about a building. It's about life change. Did you know that just in the past few weeks, since we've been in this step together as a church family, in the past few weeks, one of the hesitancies when you go into something like this, I'm going to be real transparent, all right? One of the hesitancies as a pastor is, man, we have all these guests that come. I mean, we have 30, 40, 50 sometimes guest families a weekend. We have all these unbelievers that come that don't know Christ. And man, we're going to take 8 or 9 weeks and we're going to be talking about a building and we're going to talk about giving and we're going to talk about generosity. And how are people that don't know the Lord going to respond? Can I tell you what's been happening just in the last few weeks? In the last few weeks, we have seen Muslims come to Christ right in our fellowship. In the last few weeks, we've seen gang members come to Christ right in our fellowship. Last weekend, a ministry that was born out of this church preach the gospel at a local detention center, and 40 incarcerated teenagers gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right in the middle of this process, we have been seeing life change that can only be attributed to the glory and honor of God. I got an email this week from our church plant in Tucson, Arizona. They just had their first public worship service Easter. They're still meeting in a home. Said, God is doing tremendous things here. Since our Easter service, we have seen 14 people come to Christ. It really is like we are living the book of Acts before our very eyes, where every week people are called from death to life. It is so exciting to see families being changed. Listen to this. Entire households coming to know the Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Steve, the pastor, and Jay says, Steve and I know that it is not anything we're doing, but God is at work here. And he's only invited us to come alongside him and participate. I think back to what if I told God no about leaving my career and leaving Alabama. I would have missed the whole thing here in Tucson. My faith would not have been increased, and I could not have been reliant upon him. Oh, I'd be living my safe, humdrum, happy life to my own glory and to my own detriment. But God and his divine providence wouldn't allow me to do that. He caused me to move out of my comfort zone, literally, and put me on this great journey. Listen, as we give, we're giving that lives will be changed. Number two, as we give, they gave then and we give today, that God will be honored. That God will be honored. Paul writes to them and he says, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Then in verse 13, he says, they are giving God glory. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those saints in Jerusalem. Man, they were praising God in Jerusalem because of the generosity of what was happening in Corinth. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you thank God for Hope Baptist Church? Let me see your hand. All right. All these hands, you can put them down. Now listen. You are giving thanks and praise to God in Las Vegas because somebody in Georgia gave. Do you see the connection? As we give today, there will be people in Las Vegas. Listen, Easter weekend this year, over 5,000 people in the churches that we planted in Las Vegas. Over 5,000 people were giving God glory because some people in Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee gave and invested. And as you and I give, as we invest, there'll be people in Las Vegas and in Tucson and Chicago and Zambia and Zimbabwe and Honduras and Egypt and Thailand and Laos that are singing glory to God because we give. And listen, that's very important because God is worthy of our praise and God deserves glory and honor. We live in a tragic day to me in Christianity in America because we believe that God exists for us. We teach a very man-centered view of God in our culture. Now, thank God not in this church, but in our Christian culture in America, there's a very man-centered view of God. God exists to make me happy. God exists to make me wealthy. God exists to meet all of my needs. And if something isn't just right in my life, I'm going right to his office because something's not right because, God, you're supposed to make it better than this for me, right? Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. Listen, we exist for the glory and the honor of God. We exist for the praise and the adoration of the Father. And as you and I give today, we're investing so that a God who is worth it may receive glory and honor and praise in this generation and in the generations to come. Listen to the way John Piper wrote it in his great book, Let the Nations Be Glad. If you've never read this book, I challenge you to get it. It's the greatest book on missions I've ever read. I want to put this on the screen. Piper says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. In missions, we simply aim to bring the nations, and you could say generations, into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. We give today that God will be honored. Number three, we give today, and they gave then, that our faith in God will deepen. Verse 13, Paul said, because of the proof given by this ministry. The word proof there is a word that literally means the process of proving oneself true or genuine. Now, if you've been walking with God for any length of time at all, you know this to be true. But every step of faith on the journey of walking with God leads to deeper intimacy with God and greater confidence in Him. We know that, right? I mean, every time God speaks and you step out in faith and you see God do something that can only be explained as God did it, what does it do? It grows our faith, right? It expands our confidence in Him. And one of the reasons that I'm so excited about what we're doing today is because I know that many of you, over these last few days and weeks, man, you've been seeking God. And God's spoken into your life. And there are some of you this morning that are taking the greatest step of faith you've ever taken. Those who put their trust in God will not be disappointed. That's what the Word of God says. God is going to do things in your life over the next weeks and months and years to come. And it is going to deepen your faith. It's going to deepen your intimacy with Him. Did you realize that God's going to do as much in us as He ever does through us on this journey? Fourth reason they gave. And we give today. We give today that other believers be encouraged and challenged. Verse 13, Paul says, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God. Then in verse 14, he says, they, by prayer, will yearn for you. Who's the they? The they are the other believers in Jerusalem that have been impacted through this ministry of generosity. These other believers, man, were being challenged and they were being encouraged. That word yearn, the Bible says, by prayer, man, they're yearning for you. It's a word that literally means to desire strongly and passionately. Here's what was happening. This church in Jerusalem was being so changed and encouraged by the giving of the church in Corinth. In prayer, they were saying, oh God, would you do in us what you've done in them? Lord, we want to be like that. God, we want the same grace that you've done in their lives. God, we want that gracious work in our lives. Lord, would you so do it in us that we could do it in others? Listen, as you live this principle out, it's going to encourage and challenge people in this church. And it's going to encourage and challenge people in churches all over the world. I've already been encouraged as some of you have come and shared your story with me and told me some of the things God's speaking into your life. Man, it's been encouraging. God has filled my cup listening to your stories. But you know what's going to happen over the weeks and months to come in your small groups and around family dinner tables? Man, God's going to do some stuff, and you're going to have some things to share, and you're going to begin to share it. Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to encourage, and it's going to challenge other believers in their walk with God. Fifth reason. They gave then, we give today, because God is great. Paul closed this text in verse 15 by saying, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We give today in response to the greatness of God. Paul almost just bursts at the end of these two chapters. You can hear it in his voice. He says, God, we give today because you've given so much to us. Thursday night when my family gathered as our last official gathering to kind of pray and talk about this weekend, we gathered about 9 o'clock, 9:15 around the table and spent about an hour together there just talking and praying through some of this and looking at specifics. And one of the things that we did was one of the things that many of you did. We started by saying, how's God been good to us as a family? Man, how awesome it was to just hear my kids and my wife and our family just talk about all the ways God's been good to us. And you know, a big part of that for my family is that God invited us to get in on this. And I can tell you, my family today, man, we are so excited to have the opportunity to do this today because God is great. He's given so much to us. He's been so good to us. And that's why we give. So let me give you the second half of this statement. I'm going to put it back on the screen. Today I will give from the heart. In dependence on God. To share in his activity. So that lives will be changed. God will be honored. My faith will be deepened. Other believers will be encouraged and challenged. And because God is great. Over the next 3 years, these questions are going to come up again and again and again. Why am I doing this? I want you to pull that out. Just read over it. Ask God to warm your heart. And I believe this, and we believe this so strongly at Hope. If today you're not ready to give like this, if that statement doesn't encompass your heart, please hear me. Don't give. It's not about money. It's not about a building. About what God's doing in our lives and us responding to him. Our praise team's going to come. I'm about to lead us in a word of prayer. And you notice there are two big globes up on both sides of the room this morning. Those two big globes have been cut with slots all the way around them. What we're going to ask you to do in just a few moments, we're going to all stand together, and I'm going to ask you to take that envelope that has your pledge card and your offering in it, and we're just going to move by families, either side, whichever one you want to go to, and you're just going to, as an act of offering of praise to God, you're just going to go and drop that in that globe. We did the globes for a reason. We wanted us to be mindful that we're investing in what God's doing in the world. So I'm going to say a word of prayer. And if God's prepared your heart and you're ready to give that way, then I want you to take this envelope, put your card in it, your offering in it, your cash offering, and go drop it in that globe. And then just move back to your seat, and our team's going to lead us in a spirit of praise and worship. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to stand. Father, in absolute dependence on you, we approach this time today. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing here at Hope. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being involved in your work. Lord, you don't need us, but you let us be involved. God, we bless you. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all of us say together, amen. We're going to stand together. We've got a couple of pastors at the back. If you're here and you don't know Christ and you need to talk with somebody, you feel free to go to the back to one of those pastors. The rest of us right now, just by family, begin moving towards one of these globes.